All right, I'm ready.
Jaw just cracked.
That's hot.
Hi, welcome to Sonic Cereal.
You're recording? Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark, and in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
And today, we're continuing... we're starting Kid A by Radiohead.
And this is a new season, too.
Yeah, this is season 5, episode 1, in case you didn't know.
And, let's see, so this album was released on October 2nd, 2000.
Yeah, where were you?
Oh. I was in San Diego.
Cool. And so this is experimental rock, art rock, and electronica. And it was released under Parlophone and Capitol Records.
Where were you in 2000?
At home. I was in a small town called Elk Grove, California.
All right, this album theme deals with existential dread and the unsettling transition into the digital age.
Sure does.
In so many ways.
Yeah.
Okay. What songs are we doing?
We're doing Everything in Its Right Place, Kid A, and the National Anthem.
Which are the first three songs.
Yeah. You bet.
What?
Hey, I had to get some things off my chest.
Okay.
So this is what we call... This is a new segment called Missed Opportunities. It's things I wanted to say in our last podcast.
But didn't you have an album called Missed Opportunities?
No, Canceled Plans.
Oh, Canceled Plans.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like the Black Mirror of Missed Opportunities.
Yeah, for sure. Well... When we were talking about Wannabe by the Spice Girls, I forgot to tell you that we saw a good cover at a piano bar in Seattle called Keys on Main, where they just, you know, these two guys are playing pianos and they take requests.
Did you record that?
I did.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
And it was for my cousin. And speaking of my cousin, she recently performed at karaoke.
And we also recently saw Orbital, and they played it.
It was great. It was the best moment of
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, it was. And people were really into it.
Yeah, and then I got a stomach flu.
It was so crowded in there.
It sure was. People breathe in your mouth, whether you like it or not.
Bjork headlined Coachella in 2002. You had to get that off your chest?
Yeah, she was the first female headliner of Coachella. And so...
What other headliners were there? They're right there.
You know, Lady Gaga did it in 2017, Beyonce 2018, Ariana Grande in 2019, and Billie Eilish in 2022.
Bjork was the mother.
She was the mother of that joke. And so, we were talking about it in the last episode when we talked about finishing Vespertine or something, but, you said you were there, and I just remembered that I listened to a bootleg recording of this show, and it sounds like it was pretty ratchet and filled with drama, because... I'll show you.
Okay.
Let's play a clip. Like, how are you going to be acting like that at a Bjork show? What the hell? No, I've seen it firsthand, though. Like, it's weird. Some of the people that she attracts in their show is like...
Okay.
Don't get me started. I don't know.
Okay, what about Unison?
Oh, when we were talking about Unison, I just found out that the lyric "One Hand Loves the Other" goes back to an interview Bjork did with French Elle magazine in 1995, where she said she once woke up at the bar of the Orient Express while she was drunk, and she saw her hands on top of each other, and then she saw an old lady with pink hair and a poodle sitting across from her, and she started laughing. I guess he had to be there.
She was on the Orient Express?
Yeah. She was in the murder at the Orient Express.
No, was she actually riding it, or is this a dream?
She was actually on it, and I guess she fell asleep and had a dream.
Oh, I see. Because the whole thing could be a dream.
Yeah, and maybe the whole thing was a dream.
Wow.
Maybe this is a dream.
Speaking of dreams, can you tell us about the album's background?
Well, no, first I want to talk about, do you remember the first time you heard this album? You were telling me about something about Hong Kong and small MP3 players.
Yeah, it was Korea, and when I was there, I bought one of those MP3 players at they have tons of electronic shops there.
Yeah.
And it was the first one that was like really small, and it held 14 songs. It's like 275 kilobytes.
Better than nothing.
And so I downloaded that off Napster or LimeWire. And then
you stole it? Shame on you.
You couldn't buy it.
I bought it. Go on.
Well, there was no way to buy it from LimeWire. Anyway, so I just had that. That was the only thing I had, so I heard it over and over and over.
In Korea. That's cool.
Yeah. And it was cool because being on trains and, you know, it feels very like, it's a very technology forward Seoul. It was a very technology forward city.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like I was all about the future.
And you said you also felt like it was your first experience online.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh. Okay. Well,
where were you?
When?
When you first heard the album?
Well, I got it for my birthday, and I was scared of it at first. I don't know. My birthday was coming up, and I was, I didn't know what to ask for, and so I just was. I used to subscribe to Entertainment Weekly, and they had their like fall music issue, and I saw that Radiohead was coming out with an album, and I was like, oh, I remember them from the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack, I'll give it a shot. And then who would have known?
40 years later, you'd be
compelled to do a podcast with them
and have them be such a big part of your musical influence.
Yeah. I was going to find them sooner or later.
Yeah. But I feel like at what point you find them in your life is impacts what you think of them.
Yeah.
And so if you would have found them 5 years later, maybe you would have had a very different perspective.
Probably happened to thousands of people. Okay.
Okay, so for me, it was the first major album that I was able to download. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was also the first, so it was like the first album I ever experienced online before having a CD of it.
Yeah.
And like people were talking about it on message boards and those like first like digital review of an album that came out the day it dropped instead of having to wait like a week for Rolling Stone.
Yeah. Sorry.
Can I help you?
I'm just taking in the room.
We haven't
done this in a while.
I feel like all these things we take for granted now, and they kind of feel like, you know, like reading the opinion of strangers online and stuff like that. That's all like stuff we do every day. Yeah. But back then, when this album launched,
like my boss,
when this album launched, I'm going to send her a link to this podcast.
Go ahead.
She'd probably be fired before she got to this episode. Anyway, yeah, that's all I gotta say. Is this, where does this stand in your...
This, what? It's my favorite album, and it's their fourth album.
Okay.
And the name comes from a file name on Tom York's sequencer, which was the 505. And it did also sound like Clonade, which is a human cloning organization founded in 1997. Clone.
After Radiohead released OK Computer, they wanted a two-year tour and made a documentary about it called Meeting People Is Easy.
Yeah, it was directed by Grant G. And the tour started to wear on the band, and there was talks of splitting up. And Tom York suffered from writer's block and became bored with the sound of his voice and with new bands that were sounding like Radiohead, so he wanted to take the music in a new direction.
By basically turning his voice into, like, an instrument.
Yeah. So he had been listening to a lot of artists from the Warp Records label, like Aphex Twin, and Squarepusher. I don't know how to pronounce it. Influenced by their sound.
And Tom also collaborated with other artists like Drugstore, Uncle, PJ Harvey, and Bjork.
Yeah.
Before he worked on this.
And they're all great.
Yeah. This Paris recorded an album in France.
What?
The album was recorded in Paris, Copenhagen, and a barn in Oxfordshire from early 1999 to early 2000.
Yeah, and despite the minimal promotion for the album with no singles or videos, the album charted highly.
Some have speculated this album predicted 9/11.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
And then in 2021...
Yeah.
The album released never before heard material in an interactive virtual exhibit called Kid Amnesia. Tell me about the album's artwork.
Its cover was created by Tom and Stanley Donwood.
Yeah, so he made the image by painting with knives and sticks, then he messed with the image of the painting in Photoshop.
And the mountain range on the cover was inspired by Tom and Don Wood's obsession with the World Watch Institute website. What is that about?
It shows statistics on global warming and ice caps melting.
That'd be downer.
So, Don Wood said the mountains represented some sort of cataclysmic power.
And the cover was also inspired by a photograph from the Kosovo War.
I'm in my Kosovo era right now. I don't know, this Brett era.
It showed debris and the war's aftermath in the snow.
Debbie Downer. Some of the other art in the booklet was inspired by David Hockney paintings and a graphic novel called Brought to Light.
And there were different versions of the cover, so they taped the images to the kitchen cupboards of the studio and figured it out the next morning.
Sounds good.
There it is.
Well, tell me about album reviews now.
Well, at the time of its release, Kid A was dismissed by critics as the start of a downward spiral for Radiohead and an unsuccessful alienation of their fan base. However, as time went on, Kid A started getting increasingly more and more praise, especially as its influence started to, like, just burn through the electronic mainstream and underground. And it's now labeled the greatest left turn in music history.
I mentioned that they didn't release any singles, due to publicity stress they got from the tour.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
I did.
Tell me about it.
They just were burnt out, you know? They created a really good thing and everyone wanted it.
And then they wanted more.
And then they're just like, leave us alone.
What about another review?
Well, someone gave a 2.0 review. And this someone is Jeffrey Biggelstein. From Sputnik Music. On September 24th, 2021.
You don't have to read it, the whole thing.
Okay. Just gotta let you know.
So what did he say?
He said, overall, this album is boring, tiresome, and its reputation far outweighs any musical value it may offer. A few okay songs lost in a sea of garbage filler does not make it for a classic. Alright.
He also said the cult-like attitude that surrounds this album is pretentious and holds no weight. If I wanted to listen to good experimental music, I'd listen to Aphex Twin. And if I wanted to listen to good rock music, I could think of 1,000 better albums than Kid A, or at least 3 of them by Radiohead.
I see. He's just, you know, afraid of the unknown.
I just feel like he's not allowing it to be a genre. You know, he's saying that he can go listen to experimental music over here and rock here. Like, why do I have to listen to this mashup?
But open up your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open your heart.
Well, I'm going to give you some album trivia. Radiohead recorded Kid A and Amnesiac simultaneously in 1999 and 2000. They originally considered releasing them as a double album, but felt the material was too dense.
I wonder if as a double album, this album would have... Because I can see it, like, having a double album where the two albums are different, but from the same band. You know, like, showing an evolution.
It's like your mom giving you dessert and dinner at the same time. Could you handle it?
But then the part of the appeal of dessert is that you're like anticipating it. As you finish more and more of the meal, more of your brain goes to dessert.
Yeah, so...
If they get them at both the same time, you're like, all right, I got my dessert.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying it's good that they...
Did it separately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Kudrow.
You want to talk about the first track?
Yeah, Everything in Its Right Place. It did not really get a lot of mainstream chart success. It only hit number 32 in the UK singles chart, and it didn't even make the US Billboard Hot 100.
It did. And so...
It did?
Yeah. What? It did not fail to make... Hot... Wait. No, it did. I don't know.
Okay.
What was your first impression?
I feel like if you're introducing your fans to a completely different sound, that's like a drastic change of what you were previously doing, that this song... was the right choice.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I thought this was the most original album opener, and I'm still in love with the sound. And I really like all the vocal manipulation building the intensity of the song. I listened to it on a lot of road trips. I went on a lot of road trips when I was younger, but now I don't anymore.
We just fly. Who's got time?
Okay.
But I was actually going to ask you if you wanted to go to Santa Barbara if we had a drive to LA.
Yeah.
And do like weekend in Santa Barbara and then...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought of it.
Okay.
Speaking of road trips.
Well, while Tom was suffering from writer's block, he bought a house in Cornwall and would spend a lot of time walking, drawing, and playing the piano.
And everything was the first song he wrote on the piano.
Yeah. And when the band heard it, they knew right away it had to be the first song on the album.
That's nice when that happens.
Yeah.
Or you could say that this song is in its right place.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about production.
Oh, shit. Tom York and Nigel Godrich, they used the Prophet 5 synthesizer, and York's vocals were processed in Pro Tools. As a muted piano sound that I have only heard in the Björk song called Amphibian. And the chords are similar to the Spanish bullfight songs. You know about them Spanish bullfight songs?
Hell yeah.
Well, there's also a subtle constant 4/4 kick drum in the background. So, that's all I have to say about the production, but I'll tell you about the trivia now. The Prophet 5 was widely used in horror movie soundtracks in the 80s, and was also featured on songs by Michael Jackson and Madonna, and by one of the band's most formative influences, Talking Heads, whose 1980 album, Remain in Light, was a massive reference point for this album. Yeah. And water the mountain. There is water at the bottom of the ocean. Under the water, carry the water. Tell me about the lyrics, though.
Did you know that the, like, do you know what horror movies that this was used in?
I have no idea about the Prophet 5. I want one, though.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
What do the lyrics say?
Well, if you're talking about themes, I think the theme is basically just pulling yourself together, everything falling into place, all the chakras aligning, you know?
I get it.
Have you ever felt that?
Yeah.
But then there's opposite days where everything's just falling all over the place.
That'd be a good Julio Torres thing. Like, chakras.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, my favorite lyric is, yesterday I woke up sucking a lemon. I think it's funny, but now I get it. It feels like he's trying to shed some baggage and make things right. But also, you told me recently that you used to do something like that. Like, you would put a lemon in your mouth so you could wake up. Remember? On the couch? You said you used to.
Yeah. You know, when you autoerotic asphyxiation. Mm-hmm. I was telling you that Michael Hutchins from INXS died from that.
And that's why you wanted to try it. So, if we were talking about interpretation or meaning, there's been speculation that the lyrics were inspired by a gig Radiohead did in Birmingham, UK, where Tom lost his shit. He lost his hearing. And he found it difficult to speak. So he wrote everything in its right place to express his desire to connect.
That's deep.
Hi, I get it. If there was a music video for this song, what would it be?
Just like me tidying up the house.
I can see that. Like Requiem for a Dream, where it's like you all over the place moving fast.
Putting everything in its place.
When you're on your diet pills. Well, I've got some critic reviews for you.
You stole my diet pills line.
What diet pills line?
The one from Hairspray.
Oh, your diet pills are wearing off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think a critic said it makes me think of the concept of the uncanny valley.
No.
Tell me.
For me, yeah. It makes me think of, like, I don't know why it's here under critic review. This is my opinion.
Okay.
You know the uncanny valley, like when they try to make animation really close to human, and it's like, but you can tell that it's not real.
Yeah.
So it feels like this song has both like technical and very human things, and yeah. So
I can see that they really marry the two.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Bjork tries to do too, and I think that's why these two artists are like synonymous, not whatever. Did you know Radiohead have been performing Everything in Its Right Place since 2000?
Yeah, because that's when it came out.
Yeah. Well, they play it live. When they play it live, the whole band joins in, and Tom starts the song by singing other songs like Björk's Unravel, R.E.M.'s It's the End of the World as We Know It, or Neil Young's After the Gold Rush. And it's pretty cool. So that's how they sample his voice, and then they play it throughout the song.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then he performed this just last week in Kyoto.
Yeah.
Did you see a video of that?
No. I forgot.
And have you seen these?
I've seen performed this in 2016 at Outside Lands in San Francisco. I just don't remember it. I think that's...
What were you on?
I just had some beer. And then, I don't like to be on things while I'm watching my favorite artists.
Mm.
But,
Is that why when we saw the 100 speaker Bjork thing, you thought there was going to be an orgy?
That's different.
Okay.
What was I saying? Oh, I guess that's why it's good that we have camera phones now, smartphones. Yeah. That's why we have to document everything, because memory isn't always dependable.
It's elastic.
Human memory?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it comes, sometimes it goes.
I'll tell you what. And then, this song, Everything in Its Right Place, it's been in many shows and TV shows and films. Like, The Day of the Jackal.
Heaven's Gate.
The Goldfinch.
Veronica Decides to Die.
And Vanilla Sky.
And, what about some misheard lyrics?
Well, someone thought he said, yesterday I woke up sucking on my mama's titty. I woke up sucking on my mom. I'm glad you liked that. That's when he says, yesterday I woke up sucking a lemon.
Yeah. Sucking on my mom.
Sucking on my titties like you wanted me.
What about other versions or covers of the song? There's a lot.
Hey, it's been remixed by Gigamesh, Lost Boy.
And then there's Greg Plitt and Kevin LeVrons and David Goggins. What?
Nothing.
That is an unfortunate last name. And the first comment, what did the first comment say?
Bitch, please.
So you'll see why.
The difference of success and failure, guys, isn't a lack of strength. It isn't a lack of knowledge. The difference is a lack of will.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
And then stream one did the devilish Trio Decisions of Torment Skeller Remix by Enzumuk. It's so long.
Okay.
It's good. So if you want to know, it's like if Linkin Park recorded it.
No thanks.
And then there's also a Gigamesh 3.0 remix. And that sounds like if Coldplay recorded it. You'll see.
Well, it's been covered by Rufus DeSoul, Jamie XX, Jay-Z,
The Roots, Norah Jones, and your favorite, Fish.
Yes, I'm a big fish head. Oh, and did you know DJ Vibe Killer made a version of this song in the major key?
In a major key?
The major key. Oh,
and there's also a mashup with Cardi B's WAP.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you know of any other mashups?
Yeah, there's a Kendrick Lamar mashup as well.
Nice.
Take a listen.
Kendrick Lamar, been hearing a lot about him lately.
Sound like my grandmother. Okay, what's the cocktail for this?
Distorted Harmony, tequila, absinthe, yuzu juice, and a pinch of sea salt. Not bad.
Yeah, I want to try it.
Let's make it right now.
Oh, we don't have yuzu.
Did you know that I can play this on the piano?
Yeah. I feel like anytime we walk by a piano in like a hotel or a bar, I'm like, look what I can play.
Yeah. What's the next track?
The next track is track 2, Kid A. How did it do on the charts?
Well, it wasn't released as a single, and therefore it did not chart. So... Were you listening when I said they didn't release any singles?
I was just answering the question that you put in front of me.
My first impression was that this was just beautiful. And I don't know what he's saying, but girl, I am living.
What else?
It's pretty much representative of the stream of consciousness, creative approach the band were starting to take on things.
And I think it shows how they can bring together like the complexities of human emotion with like machine and technology. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's what I do every day for work.
For the AI.
Yeah. But it's taking like, you know, emotion and
can
computing.
We have an AI guest?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
In fact, pull them up right now. Call them up. I want to talk to them.
For what?
What are they going to do with us?
What?
They'll be like...
So wait, what do you want me to do?
I want an AI guess. Like what we... I'm... Okay, hold on. Okay, tell us about production. Yeah.
Peaceful night before you get your night fucked up fucking with my family, okay?
Okay, thank you. Well, this
sounds like what?
This song opens up with what sounds like an electronic toy piano.
Oh. And Tom's vocals were done through a vocoder, and Johnny Greenwood was playing the Ondas Martinot. Did I say that right?
Ondas Martinot.
Okay.
Dude, I don't know.
Which is a keyboard with a ring and a wire attached to it. It's cool. It looks like something from a Star Trek.
Yeah, or Star Wars. I really would like to play with one.
You've never tried one?
No. Oh. Did you say it was invented in 1928?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't, but...
Yeah. Tom goes back and forth between singing and speaking on this one, and he also plays the bass. That's cool.
There's also some processed guitar and drums. And Johnny plays a harmonica at the end.
Is this what you wrote in your diary when you were a kid?
What about the lyrics?
You know, like I was saying, just a collection of stream of consciousness phrases.
Yeah. What's the phrase?
We've got heads on sticks, and you've got ventriloquist. What do you make of this?
I feel like heads on sticks is like, you know, like a revolt and persecution, like when they were coming after Marie Antoinette, and they had like the heads of the court on sticks.
Yeah.
And then ventriloquist is about being controlled.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I think.
That's what I think. Because it really makes you think. It's like people, like the woke armies against all the sheep. Because Tom sounds like a machine. It makes me think of some kind of like AI war. You can either be with it or against it.
Are you part of the woke army?
The what?
The woke army.
No. I don't know. Well. Maybe someone might say I am, and someone might say you are.
Okay. You want to fight?
Yes.
Okay. Tom said he created the lyrics by cutting up paper with phrases on them and then picking them out of a hat. And then he just said them in that order?
Literally.
Wow. No, really? Literally he did that?
Yeah, he was just like, maybe he was writing it out and he's like, mm-hmm. And, you know, or maybe right when he was in the singing recording thing, he was just like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
The booth? The recording booth?
Yes.
All right. Is there a music video?
No. But if there was one, I think it would have to do with, like, being on the road, in a forest, in the morning, sunlight. Psh. I don't know.
That sounds good. I'd watch that.
It just has some abstractions in there, here and there. Like,
yeah. Glitches.
Yeah. Of what you see on a road trip. Just a bunch of trees going by, but it's pretty.
But then all of a sudden there's like a big honey bear.
Sure. Alright. What do the critics have to say?
Keith Cameron of New Music Express was a little more critical, saying that for all the feats of brinkmanship, the patently magnificent construct called Kid and Play betrays a band playing one-handed just to prove they can, scared to commit itself emotionally.
Yeah, I'm going to give you some trivia. The first time Radiohead performed Kid A was on June 17, 2000 at Rain de Fréjus. Do you know that? Fréjus?
Yeah.
France. France. I saw them perform this at Madison Square Garden in 2018, alright? So you can just tell have you been to Madison Square Garden?
No.
Okay.
Have you?
So stop laughing.
This is waiting for you to calm down.
I just saw those in Madison Square Garden.
We all heard you.
Oh, is there any alternative versions or covers or
whatever? Yeah, there's the one that you used to play me when we first met, the one by John Mayer.
I love it. Heads on the stairs. You've got ventriloquists. Why are you hating?
And then there's the Danger Dan remix. Listen. It's good.
Oh, I like that.
Wow.
Seriously. Okay. It was the best cocktail in pairing.
A good cocktail for this is the Subterranean Sipper.
I thought it said stripper.
It could be that, too. And it has vodka, vermouth, absinthe, and cucumber water.
Awesome.
Sounds healthy.
I don't like it already. Well.
We're down to one track.
We are down to the last track of this episode, but not this album. It is the national anthem, y'all.
And this was not released as a single, so it did not chart.
Okay, thanks for that. Well, my first impression...
I want to say that I really like the bass line, and I feel like even though it has more of a rock flavor, it's really different from their previous stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And it's definitely too scary to be listening to Home Alone in the shower when you're 12. Or
13,
I don't know.
Wait, here's a funny story. When I was in the shower, you were in the other room playing the violin. And so I come out and I see Beverly Hills 90210 on the TV. But then your violin playing. And I thought, man, this is like a spooky episode of 90210. Like, it's really intense.
That would be funny.
Because the sound was off. I didn't realize. Anyway.
I wish I saw it. Yeah. So, Tom wrote the bass riff when he was 16 and recorded a demo on a 4-track. And the song was originally called Everyone. So you have everything, everyone. Everything, kid A, everyone.
The horns were inspired by jazz musician Charles Mingus.
Mm.
I feel like they would, like, maybe really ironically, they would do an album where every song starts with the same letter.
That's a good idea.
You should think about it.
I'm sure it's been done. Well, Tom York broke his foot while he was jumping up and down, conducting the brass musicians, and he told them to play like frustrated drivers stuck in traffic. Do you get frustrated in traffic?
Yeah, very.
You do.
I do. It's like waiting in a line.
Yeah.
To get into somewhere that you don't want to you don't want to go. Okay, let's talk about production.
The bass is the standout element of this song.
And it's also got Phil Selway's drum, Johnny on the Ondas Martinot, with a palm speaker that makes it resonate and chime, and some radio samples.
Yeah, and Tom's vocals are processed. A ring modulator.
Is this a picture of one?
Yeah, that looks hot.
I was
Oh, just dear.
Just see what it looked like.
I'm just not expecting to see that tonight.
What is a ring modulator?
It's just an effect, a vocal effect that makes your voice sound like it's through some kind of chamber. I don't know.
Okay. And then it ends with some scary, crazy brass horns from hell.
Sure does.
And a classical piece from the radio at the end of the sample is of Arthur Bliss, Cello Concerto. How do you say OP?
Opus? Opus? I don't know.
But do you say opus or just, is there...
I don't know.
All right, 120. National Anthem also includes sampling contributions from Henry Binns from 07.
Yeah.
Do you ever go through a 07 phase?
I mean, I think I've only heard a few of their songs.
Hmm.
I think they were on the Garden State soundtrack.
Yes.
All right. Well, the drums and the bass were actually recorded in 1997 during the recording for OK Computer.
And they were about to use it as a B-side, but then decided to save it for the next album instead. Good choice.
Yeah, very good choice.
What about the lyrics?
Well, the repetitive, simple lyrics that inspire anxiety, like, everyone has got the fear, it's holding on.
Yeah. I feel like it's about, yeah, dealing with anxiety, because there's a line that
says, like, we're all just hanging in there.
Everyone's so near, everyone has got the fear. Like, that's just, like, encapsulates anxiety really well.
Yeah, especially everything in recent years, like the pandemic. Yeah.
Yes. And then we recently saw Civil War.
Yeah. What's happening, man? Living in strange times. Tell you
for
what.
Sure. Music video.
Is that my Christmas gift?
Yes.
It's
actually mine.
If I made a music video of this song, it would be like agitated crowds, like growing, like the Fantasia scene where Mickey Mouse chops up the broomsticks and the pieces just keep growing and taking over. And so I just feel like some kind of, like, you know,
building. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah.
And as far as critics, Simon Reynolds from Spin described the song as a strange, thrilling blast of cosmic highway music, noting that its fusion of jazz elements and influences from Hawkwind, Silver Machine, and Can's Mother Sky. Do you know them?
Can? Yeah. They're a big influence on Radiohead.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm familiar with them.
Let me play you a song.
Okay.
Okay. Nick Hornby, who is writing for The New Yorker, criticized the track as an unpleasant workout to jazz, with a discordant horn section squalling over a studiedly crude bass line.
Wow.
I can give you some trivia, and I can tell you that Radiohead performed the national anthem on SNL.
Who was the guest host?
I think it was Kate Hudson.
Yeah.
I know, right?
At a show in Atlanta in 2003. Johnny played Madonna's Like a Prayer with this song, and it went pretty well. What?
No, he was tuning, like, he was looking for the radio. He always plays the radio stations when they start to play this song, and he tuned it on a station that was playing Madonna's, like, a prayer. So it was kind of like an accident. Like a little accidental mashup.
That's cool.
Yeah, it went well.
Is there a recording of it?
Yeah, I'll show you.
Okay.
All right. Well, Lupe Fiasco sampled a song in their own song called The National Anthem.
I couldn't even, like...
Hey.
Personalize it.
I don't know. Do you know the National Anthem?
Like, to play it?
Like, the lyrics.
Like, the Oh Beautiful for Spacious Skies, whatever.
Beautiful for Spacious Skies. It's Oh Say Can You See.
Yeah, that one.
By the Dawn. What did you say? I have to listen to that again. Alright, well, tell me about alternate versions or covers.
It's been covered by Government Mule, My Morning Jacket, and the Vitamin String Quartet. They come up a lot.
Yeah, well, they do everything. No, I'm serious. You want to look up your favorite artist? Just type in Vitamin String or Quartet, whatever, and they're in it. They're there.
Shout out to Vitamin String Quartet.
Whatever. An alternate version was made for the trailer of the 2023 Ridley Scott film, Napoleon.
I still want to see that.
You do? Yeah. I heard it was bad, though.
Yeah.
Okay, let's watch it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, what's a good cocktail for the national anthem?
It's called the Brass Riot. Tell me what's in it.
It's rye whiskey, Aperol, lime juice, and smoked bitters. And I thought brass, like brass monkey.
Yeah.
Where you put orange juice and red stripe. That's good.
You've had that?
What is that?
You've had, Brass Monkey?
Yeah, it's hella good.
Why haven't you ever made
it? You haven't? I'm sure you've had.
I don't think so.
I feel like we've done the Brass Monkey. All right, well, we're going to do one soon.
Okay.
Do one tomorrow.
The store's open for another hour. We can do one tonight.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, the show's over. Right? That's the end of the thing.
Yeah. All
right. But no, wait. Don't run away. This is one. This is one of the most influential albums and artists of your life.
Yes.
From a music perspective.
Yes, yes.
So, why?
It's just well thought out, beautiful music. It sounds like it's on a subconscious level, like David Lynch films, you know? It's just like genuine, authentic, and good. It's just all around good, and...
You're doing great. How has it changed over time? Like, you still listen to it now. You listen to songs from it.
It holds up, and you can tell how it's influenced a lot of artists out there, and including myself.
I don't know where to focus my eyes.
Me neither. Everything about you is perfect. Yeah, it just really feels in tune with what I'm feeling all the time. And, I don't know, it's like a second heart. I don't know. It keeps me going.
Do you feel like their thought process... We didn't talk about this too much, but they were fighting a lot during this album.
Yeah.
And I feel like the fact that they were able to do this... Either that they are most creative when they're fighting, or that despite fighting, they're so brilliant they were able to make this.
I think, yeah, because sometimes you have to go through challenges in life to come out the other end more resilient. And I think when you get that resilience back, you feel energy and inspiration. And so you just do everything.
I don't know. What do you want me to say? You're like a guest speaker at Abbott Elementary. And then
I think a lot of good work comes out of blue periods.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to say.
And do you think that it's well understood, like, how much of this was calculated versus how much of this just happened from them experimenting in real time?
I think Radiohead's a good mixture of calculated and... What'd you say?
Calculated and uncalculated?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's...
Well, because calculated in the way that when they just make stuff, sometimes they're just like, that doesn't fit, so we're going to shelve it for any album in the future that comes along the way, and they still have that old song in the back of their head, so they pull it out and give it to the new song.
What?
Oh, damn.
Sounds like some like weird baby trading thing.
I don't know. Can you imagine if I'm at a bar saying that to someone? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Leave me alone.
We should make a soundboard of that.
Call my grandma up. Start saying this. She's like, honey, I know. Anyway. What are we doing? Oh, right. You.
Okay, well, why are you calling me?
Alright, good night.
Sometime, Isha, bitch.
I know. You have to go to bed now.
See you next week. After we put Taisha to bed, we get started working on the next podcast, which will feature songs 3, 4, and 5.
No.
And 6? Wait, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah. Yeah, 4, 5, 6, 7, which is How to Disappear Completely, Tree Fingers, Optimistic, and In Limbo.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Tree Fingers, that's why I was thinking of the Dildo Fingers.